I was thinking about people who don't know God, people that have no respect for God, no fear of God, no trust of God, people that do not acknowledge God. Do you realize how mean and cruel and brutal those people can be? How uncaring? Can you imagine being a Jew and being in the presence of someone that hates you simply because you're a Jew? We'll talk about it today as we look at God's precepts for life. Have you ever heard someone say, they're Jews, who cares about them? They're Jews, they don't matter. They're Jews. It's anti-Semitism. And yet, do you know that in a sense, that some of this pain is what God is behind because of Israel's sin? As we move into Jeremiah chapter 30, we have looked at the time of Jacob's distress that is coming. We have looked at the fact that it is going to be about a 3.5 year period. It is a time, and we'll go back at it, and we'll look at it again. But it is a time when there will be persecution of the Jews, when there will be a one world ruler. And Daniel chapter 7 tells you about this. And Daniel chapter 9 tells you about this. And Daniel chapter 12 tells you about this. And this ruler will hate the Jews. That is coming. It's a time of Jacob's distress. And yet, what we need to understand is that that distress ends up in restoration. And you need to remember that, that distress in your life and disturbance in your life and disappointment and disillusionment and things like that, if you really belong to God, they are not to define you. What defines you is what God says about you and what God has in the future for you. So he tells about the time of Jacob's distress in Jeremiah chapter 30. Then he talks about raising up David. He talks about raising up their king, which is Jesus. He talks about destroying all the nations completely. And he gives you this big scenario, and then he comes back in. And he lets you know why the distress, why the pain, why the suffering. And the distress and the pain and the suffering are because God's dealing with them. He's having to chasten them. Listen to Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 12. For thus says the Lord, your wound is incurable. Your injury is serious. There is no one to plead your cause. I would suggest that you get my book, Israel, My Beloved, that takes you from this time that I'm teaching you in Jeremiah and has Jeremiah in it all the way through to the very end, to the coming of Messiah. And it is a true story in novel form. It is accurate history. I mean, I read all Jewish works when I wrote that. And you get the Israel and the personification of Sarah. And you see the history of Israel and the pain and the suffering and the incurable wound and the fact that there is no one to plead Israel's cause. There's no recovery for you. All your lovers have forgotten you. They do not seek you. For I, God is speaking, have wounded you with the wound of an enemy. You say, I feel like that. I feel like God's wounded me. And you know, in a sense, God may have wounded you. But if he has wounded you because of sin in your life, because you just won't toe the line, know this, he wounds, but the wound is with the intention of your restoration. So watch what he says. He says, I have wounded you with the wound of an enemy, with the punishment of a cruel one. And then he tells why. Because your iniquity is great and your sins are numerous. Why do you cry out over your injury? Your pain is incurable because your iniquity is great and your sins are numerous. Do you realize he says that two times? Your iniquity is great. Your sins are numerous. I, God, have done these things to you. He says, therefore, all who devour you will be devoured. I want you to know, I'm the one that's allowed all of this. And yet I also want you to know, because I'm God, those who have come against you, I'm going to deal with. I'm going to hold them accountable. So listen to me very carefully. If you're anti-Semitic, you can know this. God is going to get you. God is going to get you. And don't think that you die and escape, because there is life after death. There's the lake of fire. There's hell. There is heaven. There are rewards. There are loss of rewards. And so just know this, there is a God in heaven. He says, therefore, all of you, all who devour you will be devoured, and all your adversaries, every one of them will go into captivity. Every one of them is going to go into captivity. And those who plunder you will be for plunder. I'm going to get them. I'm going to get them. They plunder you, they're going to be for plunder. And all those who prey on you, who are ready to pounce on you, I will give for prey. For I, here's the good news, will restore you to health. I will heal you of your wounds, declares the Lord. Because they have called you an outcast, saying, it's Zion. No one cares for her. I'm going to take care of you. Thus says the Lord, behold, I will restore the fortunes of the tents of Jacob. They may spoil you, but I will restore you. I don't know where you've been. I don't know what's been done to you. I don't know if you, precious one, have suffered the cruelty of others or not. But I can tell you this, there is a God in heaven who is just, who is righteous, who is sovereign. And if you belong to him and Israel belongs to God, then God will deal with anyone that comes against you. You see, we don't see immediate deliverance. But if we don't see immediate deliverance, you've got to know it's because God has something else in mind. He's either letting you suffer so that you will know and understand and you say, I'm not going there anymore. I don't want to go through that anymore. I don't want to feel that way. I don't want to feel separated from God anymore. But whatever it is, if you belong to God, he's in the restoration business. Behold, I will restore the fortunes of the tents of Jacob and have compassion on his dwelling places. And the city will be rebuilt on its ruin, and the palace will stand in its rightful place. Now, he's saying, I'm going to rebuild Jerusalem. And he does. They go into captivity. They go into captivity for 70 years. We've studied it. They go in, and the captivity starts in 605 BC. In 586 BC, Jerusalem is destroyed. There's no palace. There's no city. There's no temple. I mean, God has allowed the Babylonians to level it because of the sin of Israel. Because God kept speaking to them over and over again, saying, repent, return to me, return, O faithless sons, and I will heal your faithlessness. He's been saying that. They would not listen. Put away your idols. They would not put away their idols. Don't run down to the nations for help. They ran to the nations for help. And so they haven't listened. So God has to deal with them. But he's dealing with them not for the sense of destroying them. This is what you have to understand. But for the sense of restoring them. And so this is what he says. He says, and that city was rebuilt when they came back under the days of Ezra, and then the wall was rebuilt under the times of Nehemiah. Then it was destroyed again in 70 AD. Daniel prophesied that it would in Daniel 9, 24 to 27. He tells them it's going to be destroyed. And Jesus told him in Luke, and Jesus told him in Matthew that the city's going to be destroyed. But there will be a new Jerusalem that comes down out of heaven. It's the new heaven and the new earth. There will be a time in that 1,000-year reign that's on your chart when God will have a temple to end all temples, and where there will be worship in that temple of God. And it will be called Jehovah Shammah. The Lord is there. You read about it in the end of Ezekiel. All right, now let's go on. From them will proceed thanksgiving. Hey, he's restoring. And the voice of those who celebrate. And I will multiply them, and they will not be diminished. I will honor them, and they will not be insignificant. Their children will be as formerly. Their congregation will be established before me. I will punish all the oppressors, and their leader shall be one of them. And in other words, no foreign power is going to come and rule over you. The time of the Gentiles will be through. But your leader will be one of you. He will come from you. And it says, and their ruler shall come forth from their midst, and I will bring him near, and he shall approach me. For who would dare risk his life to approach me? I'm going to raise up a leader, and he's going to come, and he's going to approach me. Me who? Me, Jesus. I'm going to be there. He says, you shall be my people, and I will be your God. Israel is God's people. Israel is God's people. You better treat them properly. We'll be right back and talk more about this and look at some hope for them and for us. Distress, restoration, distress, restoration. Now what is he talking about in Jeremiah chapter 30 as he brings this chapter to a close? He's talking about a tempest. He's talking about a tempest. You've heard about a tempest in a teapot. This is not a tempest in a teapot. This is not a tempest in a tea party in the United States of America. This is a tempest where God is bringing forth his wrath and his anger on the earth. Listen to what it says. It says, behold, verse 23 of chapter 30, behold the tempest of the Lord. Wrath has gone forth, a sweeping tempest. The fierce anger, it will burst on the head. Now listen, on the head of the wicked. Do you remember how I opened this program? Do you remember how I moved from this point of contemplation about Israel and about people that don't fear God and don't respect God and don't trust God, and how mean and awful and wicked and ugly and uncaring and brutal and horrific they can be? Do you remember that? Well, I want you to know there is a God in heaven, beloved. And that God in heaven is going to bring their wickedness down on their head in a tempest. It says the fierce anger of the Lord will not turn back until he has performed and until he has accomplished the intent of his heart. In the latter days, you will understand it. Now, it's that phrase that in the latter days, you will understand it. And then the connection between 31 and 29, because remember, there were no chapter divisions when the Bible was written. We came along and did that later so that we could tell people where to look and where we were and divide it all up. 30 and 31 are connected. And I believe that this tempest that he's talking about are those last 7 years on the earth just before Jesus Christ comes to reign as King of Kings. Now, what you have to know and you have to understand is that there is a phrase, in the last days, in the last days. The book of Hebrews tells us that the last days begin with the first coming of Jesus Christ. So I mark them on my timeline by simply putting a little crib there with a head in it to represent the birth of Jesus Christ. The coming of Christ, born as a human being, born as a man, born from a virgin, born the Son of God. That's when the last days begin. So he comes, he dies, he's buried, he's resurrected, and then he pays for our sins and he ascends to heaven. But he's coming back again. He's sitting right now at the right hand of the throne of God Almighty. That's where Jesus Christ sits. He sits there and he's praying for you and me. He's praying as we listen. He's praying as you listen to others, that you'll have discernment, that you'll check them out, that you'll make sure that you're getting truth from the Word of God. And he's praying for you that you will learn his precepts and so that you'll know how to live. But then he's going to leave that right hand and he's going to come down to earth. And he's going to come down to earth at the end, so to speak, of the tempest. At the end of this time when he is going to judge the wicked. Now you can read about that. You can read about that in the book of Revelation. But don't do it now because we're studying Jeremiah. So let's see what he says. Now watch as I go from chapter 30, verse 24, to chapter 31, verse 1. It says, well, let me start at verse 23. Behold, the tempest of the Lord. Wrath has gone forth, a sweeping tempest. It will burst on the head of the wicked. The fierce anger of the Lord will not turn back. Until he has performed and until he has accomplished the intent of his heart. In the latter days, you will understand this. At that time, declares the Lord, I will be the God of all the families of Israel and of Judah. In other words, at this time, when this fierce tempest comes Fourth, in the latter days you'll understand it. At that time, I will be their God. They shall be my people. This is what he's saying. So I believe that when he's talking personally, and you can check out others, but do your homework first. But I believe that he's taking us to this time because he tells, at that time, I will be their God and they will be my people. And this, precious one, is when they really see, in the time of Jacob's distress, it's when they really see who Jesus Christ is. Who Jesus Christ is. We'll look at it in the next 2 days as we look at the new covenant. But let me go on. Thus says the Lord, the people who survive the sword in the wilderness found grace in the wilderness. Israel, when it went to find its rest. And he's talking about wandering he's pointing back to how God took care of them. It says, the Lord appeared to him from afar, saying, now listen, catch this. This is awesome. This is Jeremiah 31:3. I have loved you with an everlasting love. Who is God saying that to? He's saying that to the Jews, to Israel. I remember one day when I was over there and it was during the Intifada and the whole place was deserted, and here we were, just a handful of people. I could only find a handful of brave people that went with us on our annual tour, teaching tour of Israel. I mean, if you really want to be taught the Word of God, I mean, up one side and down the other and everything, if you're really interested in knowing that, knowing the Word of God and studying the book and the land of the book, you ought to go to Israel with us. It's awesome. It's absolutely, people say, I've never been on a tour like that in all my life. They realize it's not a vacation, it's an investment. And they come home and they never read the Bible the same way. Well, I'm at the hotel in Jerusalem. We stay at very lovely hotels because it makes a difference. I walk in and into the little store where the gal is that sells the books and the magazines and stuff like that. And she's telling me, the whole world hates us. The whole world hates us. She's amazed that I've come because the whole world hates the Jews. But listen, there is a day coming when they're going to realize, hey, God loves the Jews with an everlasting love. Therefore, now listen carefully, I have drawn you with loving kindness. You say, a tempest? Jacob's distress, that's loving kindness? Yes, it is. Whatever it takes to turn you around and shape you up, and get you on the right road and get you believing God, it's worth it. It's loving kindness. I have loved you with loving kindness again. And just know this, that no matter what the past, there with God, there is an again. Again, I will build you and you will be rebuilt. O virgin daughter, again you will take up your tambourines and go forth to the dance of the merrymakers. Again you will plant vineyards in the hills of Samaria. I love you, Israel. We better love Israel like God does.
Do you love K. Arthur's teaching? Would you like to get up to speed on all of Precept Ministries news and events? Join us on Facebook by visiting precept.org/Facebook. Receive daily biblical encouragement, special messages from Kay, updates on new products, event announcements, and get connected with others seeking the truth from God's Word.
See you on Facebook.
We are on the air because of friends who give generously to this ministry. Our financial partners at every level provide the faithful, ongoing support we need to touch thousands of lives every single day. To partner with us, visit preceptsforlife.com today. Your much-needed gift will help us reach the world with the Word of God.
It's time. You know what it's time for. If you've listened to this program, if you've watched it, you know it's time for our precept for life. What is your precept for life today? It's again. It's the word again. So many times what happens is we think my life is ruined. So-and-so ruined it. This circumstance ruined it. I ruined it. I blew it. And I want you to know, beloved, that is not God. God is a redeemer. God is a restorer. God is a God that can say to you, again, again. It's not over. It's again. And then it's again for all eternity. Did you see it? Did you see it? Listen to what he says. The Lord appeared to him from afar, saying, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, I have drawn you with loving kindness. In other words, what you have been through has been my loving kindness. It's to draw you close to me. And then he says, again, I will build you and you will be rebuilt, O virgin daughter of Israel. Do you know when he's saying this to them? He's saying this to them before he's ever destroyed them. He's letting them know ahead of time. And God is letting you know, precious one, that with God, if you are his, there is an again. It's not over. It's not the end. He has a future. He has hope for you. Plans not for calamity, but plans for your welfare. Again, 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 I will restore. And we have all of eternity that is our again. A new heaven, a new earth, no more sorrow, no more tears, no more pain, no more death. Again, there is a future and there is hope. Oh, stick with me, because what is coming in the next 2 days is really probably the most powerful and precious truth that's tucked in Jeremiah, not only for Israel, but for you and for me. It's the promise of a new covenant. It's the promise of forgiveness of sins. It's a promise for again.
Thank you for watching today. All the programs you see on Precepts for Life are available on CD and DVD. To order your copy of today's program, log on to our website at preceptsforlife.com. To download your free copy of the study guide or to find out more about Precept Ministries International, click on our website or call us today at 1-800-763-1990. Join us for our next program as Kay shares more Precepts for Life.